Chapter 2. A Dead Man. Of course the folks in the cause houses had predicted Sportcoat's death for years. Every year in the spring, when the project residents would emerge from their apartments like burrowed groundhogs to walk along the plaza and sample whatever good air was left in the causeway, much of it polluted from the nearby wastewater treatment plant, some resident would spy Sportcoat staggering through the plaza after a night of binging on King Kong Rotgut at Rufus's, or playing Bidwist at Silky's Bar over on Van Marl Street, and say, "He's done." When he caught the flu back in 58, which floored half of Building 9 and gave Deacon Erskine of Mighty Hand Gospel Tabernacle his final wings, Sister Bum Bum declared, "He's going up yonder." When the ambulance came to get him after his third stroke in 62, Ginny Rodriguez of Building 19 grumbled, "He's finished." That was the same year that Miss Izzy of the Puerto Rican Statehood Society won raffle tickets to see the New York Mets at the Polo Grounds. She predicted the Mets, who had lost 120 games that year, would win, and they did, which encouraged her to announce Sportcoat's death 2 weeks later, explaining that Dominic Lafleur, the Haitian sensation, had just arrived back from Port-au-Prince after visiting his mother, and she actually saw Sportcoat drop in his tracks right in front of his apartment on the fourth floor from the strange virus Dominic brought back that year. "He went fatty boom bang," she exclaimed. "Gone. Quit. Out of here." She even pointed to the black van from the city morgue that showed up that night and hauled out a body as proof, only to recant the whole bit the next morning when it turned out the body they'd claimed belonged to the Haitian sensation's brother, El Haji, who had converted to Islam and broken his mother's heart, then collapsed of a heart attack after his first day on the job driving a city bus, after trying to get on at transit for 3 years, too. Imagine that. Still, Sportcoat seemed earmarked for death. In fact, even the cheerful souls at Five Ends Baptist, where Sportcoat served as a deacon and president of the Five Ends chapter of the Grand Brotherhood of the Brooklyn Elks Lodge, number 47, which for the grand sum of $16.75, paid annually, money order only, please, had a standing guarantee from the head honchos at Five Ends Baptist to funeralize any and all Brooklyn Elks Lodge members who need final servicing, at cost, of course. With Sportcoat serving as honorary pallbearer, had predicted his death. "Sportcoat," Sister Veronica G. of Five Ends said soberly, "is a sick man." She was right. At 71, Sportcoat had contracted almost every disease known to man. He had gout. He had the piles. He had rheumatoid arthritis, which crippled his back so bad he limped like a hunchback on overcast days. He had a cyst on his left arm the size of a lemon, and a hernia in his groin the size of an orange. When the hernia grew to the size of a grapefruit, doctors recommended surgery. Sportcoat ignored them, so a kind social worker at the local health clinic signed him up for every alternative therapy known to man. Acupuncture, magnet therapy, herbal remedies, holistic healing, applying leeches, gait analysis, and plant remedies with genetic variations. None of them worked. With each failure, his health declined further, and the death predictions grew more frequent and ominous. But not one of them came true. The fact is, unbeknownst to the residents of the cause, the death of Cuffy Jasper Lamkin, which was Sportcoat's real name, had been predicted long before he arrived at the cause houses. When he was slapped to life back in Possum Point, South Carolina, 71 years before, the midwife who delivered him watched in horror as a bird flew through an open window and fluttered over the baby's head, then flew out again. A bad sign. She announced, "He's going to be an idiot," handed him to his mother, and vanished, moving to Washington, D.C., where she married a plumber and never...